certainly appreciate the opportunity to come and preach the Word of God. It's always a privilege, always a blessing to be able to open it. Good to see faces I don't get to see a lot during our lives. We cross paths periodically, but it's always good to see each one of you that I hadn't seen in a while and always laugh and talk and just pick up where we left off. But appreciate the words we've heard so far this morning. Are we hearing the Word? Are we having confidence in God? And do we have a passion as God has given us a passion for souls? And I want to share with you this morning something I think is needs to be shared with not only preachers but church members. We do live in a world that has fallen. It is cursed by sin. And many of us come to the point where we feel heavy-hearted. We feel our hearts are heavy. We're burdened. And everywhere we look, a lot of folks are looking for comfort. A lot of folks are looking for a place to find refuge, a place to seek to and get to and find that comfort, to find that peace. And I want to encourage you today. I just want to provide for you some encouragement that we have that refuge. We have that strong tower. We have a place we can retreat to and find that rest and help in our time of need. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful today that I can stand here and be able to deliver a message that provides comfort for the troubled heart. John 14 is where we will be reading from today. John chapter 14. I want to read verses 1 down through verse number 11. John chapter 14, verses 1 down through number 11. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." As I've said already, we do live in a world that is fallen, it is cursed by sin, and it is packed with troubles and trials. We never know what another day may bring, what another minute may hold, or what another second may also reveal before us. Instead of pretending that these things do not exist, Scripture tackles them straight off the bat. They don't run from the fact that we will face trouble. I don't believe any of us in here believe in the prosperity gospel theology. But if you do, you will be rocked and jolted very quickly, because you're going to find out that once you become a believer, life don't necessarily always get better, because things will come. We're not promised a white picket fence. We're not promised the car you want to drive and these things. What we are promised is troubles and trials. We are promised these things. Jesus said in Matthew 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation." It doesn't get much clearer than that. Acts 14:22, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. But even though we see that these things will be very active in our life, we also have the promise from Scripture that in 2 Corinthians 1:3, we serve the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort will comfort us. We also have Psalm 23, verse 4, that even, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. Even though we are promised trials and tribulations, struggles and hardships, we are also promised that we serve the God of mercy. We serve the God of grace. We serve a God of comfort. And I want you to see with me as we walk through the verses that we have read, how we are, how can have comfort for our troubled hearts. Notice with me this morning, first of all, in verse 1, that comfort comes from trusting in Christ's presence. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, just to bring into context our reading, we know that in this particular passage that the disciples are sitting down having the Lord's Supper. And he is beginning to reveal to them that he is going to die. His time is drawing near. Now, these men have left everything they had in their life. They dropped it at just right off the bat to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be job, place of location, whatever it was. When Jesus said, follow me, what did they do? They followed him. Their security, their foundation, everything they knew was starting to become very shaky because Jesus was telling them, I will no longer be here. I am about to die. And the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. This word troubled means to shake up or to stir up. Now, I don't know what it is, but this past year, especially these past 2 years, it don't matter what preacher I come across, you can say, brother, how are you? I'm all right. How's things going? We all right, preacher. I want you to know it's not only preachers. You can come across church members. How are you? Folks, I want you to know people are hurting. Their foundations are being shaken. Senses of security are being removed. Everywhere people go, they can't find something solid and something steady to grab a hold to. And we begin to feel a little troubled. And that's what was happening to these disciples. They were beginning to be troubled. Everything they had invested their faith in, they had invested their life in, Jesus was telling them, I'm about to lay my life down and die. But Jesus says, what? Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because if you believe in God, believe also in me. Folks, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And because he is our great high priest, the Bible says, he can sympathize with what we are going through and what we are dealing with. He does not approach us without ever experiencing what you and I are going through in life. He knows the very depths of your heart's trouble today. He knows where you are. He knows what you're fearful of. He knows what you're aching about. He knows what has rocked your world. It may be a death. It may be finance. It may be anything that has come your way and removed your sense of security. Jesus Christ can sympathize with you today. You come to preachers and you want preachers to pray for you and all these things. That's great. But a lot of times pastors may have never walked the path you're going through. And it's true that not everybody knows how you feel. But there's one who knows exactly how you feel. His name is Jesus Christ. So don't feel like you have nowhere to run to. Don't feel like you have no place to retreat to. Run to Christ. Give your life to Jesus. For he is there waiting and willing to embrace you in his loving arms. This is the Savior that we serve. And he's called upon us to believe in him. Jesus said it in verse 1 as we continue in our verse, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Now let us not get this word believe mistaken with Jesus calling them to be saved. These disciples were born again. They were following the Lord. So what does the word believe if it don't mean salvation in terms of salvation? The word believe here is in the present tense form, which gives the idea that Jesus is instructing his disciples, don't stop believing. Don't give up. Don't let your guard down. Don't put it to the side. Keep on keeping on. And if you've come down this way this morning and you're looking for some encouragement, let me be the one to tell you today, don't stop believing. Don't stop doing what you're doing with Christ. Keep on keeping on. Fight the fight of faith. Run the race. We've not been called home yet. We're sitting in here. We still have a race to run. So let not your heart be troubled. Don't be shaken by what seems to be going on in the world. Don't let it remove your foundation that you have. Because if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in him, then keep on keeping on. This is the message he encouraged the disciples with, is to believe in who he was. Folks, I want you to know today that the presence of Christ in your life is enough to calm any raging storm that ever follows you. The presence of Christ is enough and it is sufficient. I love the song In Christ Alone, because in Christ alone we have peace, we have comfort, we have the sufficient things we need to overcome tribulation in this world. So we are, not only does comfort come from trusting in Christ's presence in our life, but secondly, comfort comes from trusting in Christ's preparation. Notice verses 2 through 3. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, I want you to understand that another comfort that Jesus gave them was the very fact that he was making preparation. Now, when we get to talking about mansions, we're not going to get carried away with eschatology in here today. We're not going to get dove off and all that, because I know it could get real deep real quick. But we're not going to branch out in that. The point Jesus is making here is that there is a place prepared for believers. If what you see around you seems to be falling apart, you can know today that your inheritance in heaven is rock solid. And nothing can touch it. Nothing can take it away. Nothing can rob you of it. It is there being preserved and protected by Almighty God. This is what Christ wants you to be encouraged about and find comfort in, is that he is preparing a place for his children. He is preparing a place for his people. Now, I know many people get carried away with writing hymns and many other things talking about this mansion. You know, I got a mansion on the hilltop. We're not going to meddle too much. But I want you to understand, I don't think God intends for me and you to think that there's going to be different subdivisions in heaven. Okay? I don't think that you're going to have your own address. Okay? I don't think you're going to have one down the road. And Brother Shad may have one way back down the road. I don't know where you think yours may be located. But I want you to understand the point in Jesus saying that there are many mansions there is not for us to get caught up in material lust. Well, what's the point? Well, we have to study just a little bit. And if you begin to read more and what this references to, it says in Revelation 21:3, the tabernacle of God is where? With man, among men. And he will dwell where? Among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. What has been God's intention from Genesis all the way to where we are today? To be with his people. That has been God's intention. So if that's been his intention all along, and we know our God never changes, then don't think that you've got a subdivision waiting for you. God has did everything in his power and all of his planning to send his one and only Son, that he may be with you, not down the road from you. Okay? In Genesis, God's presence was with who? Adam. They sinned, they separated. You keep reading, the tabernacle's formed. The Ark of the Covenant is built. Why? Why would God want that to happen? So he can be where? Among his people. Then we just celebrated the birth of our Savior. And what is that? Emmanuel, God with us. And then he dies and he ascends into heaven. But wait a minute, he left us? No, he promised to send who? The Comforter, the Encourager. Why? To be with us. Our promise as a believer that can bring you comfort today is to know that you know that you know you will be with God forever. God has radically pursued his people. Nothing has ever stood in his way. He's never lost a case. He's never been defeated. He don't sit on the throne worrying about if he's lost the battle. He has won. Tetelestai, right? It is finished. And then you get in Revelation and he says again, it is done. And then you can jump to Zechariah 14 where it says that we will live with him forever where the curse is no longer present. Amen. You want comfort? Embrace Christ. Amen. Well, as we continue, not only is our comfort come from knowing Christ is with us, knowing Christ is preparing a place for us, but thirdly today, our comfort comes from trusting in Christ's proclamation, in what he has proclaimed. Notice with me verses 4 through 6. It says, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Yes, we can have comfort in knowing Christ is with us. Yes, we can have comfort in knowing he's preparing a place for us. But folks, the greatest comfort of all is believing rocks and it, believing without a doubt his proclamation. And what Jesus has proclaimed is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of himself. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is no other way to heaven. And if you have been by the way of the cross, and you've been redeemed, and you've been washed by the blood, then you can take comfort in knowing that he's promised you there is no other way. There is no other way you can go and make it to eternity. It is Christ and Christ alone. He is the way to God. Why? What makes him the way to God? Because Jesus is God. If you want to know the way to God, you got to go through God. And God sent himself in the form of human flesh. And that's how we today have confidence. That's what sets our God separate from all the others, is that he came and took on this flesh and he overcome this flesh so that he would be put to death, he would be buried, and he'd rise again to defeat death, hell, and the grave so that you and I could have comfort in these days that come. Take heart. Take courage, dear friend, for we serve the one and only true living God. This is Christ that we proclaim. Yes, it is fun to preach Christ. It is a glory to preach Christ. And I love to see the encouragement it brings on believers' faces when they see that they do have a foundation. They do have a place in which they can feel safe and comfortable. Folks, I want you to know that Christ is alone the way to God. The Word of God tells us in John 10, Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Jesus alone is the way to God. You can look and go searching if you want to, but you will always be brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he the way to God, but he's the truth of God. He alone is the truth. How do we know this? John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he's also the life. How can Jesus be the way, the truth, and the life? Because he alone possesses the life that God has to give. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Believe him today, not only because he's present with us in our hearts. Find comfort in that. Find comfort also that he's making preparation for us. And find comfort also in the very fact that he's proclaimed the only way there. And if you've come by that way, then you have full assurance in your heart. Lastly, I want to share with you verses 7 through 11. The last thing that I believe is possibly, if not the most important thing. Comfort comes in trusting Jesus' deity, Jesus' person. Verses 7 through 11, he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you so long, and ye hast not thou known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. For he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Comfort comes, lastly, I fully believe, in just simply believing who Jesus said he was. Jesus made full assurance. One of the most interesting things to me about the language, the Greek language, is that when you, it's kind of like reading the Bible. You start off in black and white, and then the more you study it, it kind of starts adding a little color to it. Don't change much, but it just kind of gives you an impact. One of the most unique things I've ever come to find out is that every time Jesus proclaimed in the New Testament, I know many of you probably already know this, he would say, I am. Ego a me. It was a reinforcement. And if you go back to the Old Testament where God said, I am, and then you jump to the New Testament, when Jesus would have used that language, y'all know that the Pharisees, it just irked them. Just sent a cold chill down their spine. It just, oh, for someone to walk up to me and tell me in their language at that time, the understanding was Jesus was just bluntly telling them, I am God. And when it just ignited a fire in them, they couldn't stand him. They tried to kill him in Luke chapter 4. They wanted to push him over the hill, throw him to the depths, because it just made them so mad. But what should make us so joyful is to know that Jesus is God. Folks, I want you to understand. You say, preach, that's not that big a deal. A lot of folks should believe that. Well, you must have witnessed to a lot of folks or had come in contact with different religious thought. Because, folks, there's a lot of people out here that want to tell you that Jesus was the first created or the first descent or many other things. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is God. You say, well, why is it such of importance? Because Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Jesus is the way to God because he is God. There is no other. Many look at Christ as though he was a good man. He lived a good moral life. He had an outstanding moral figure. But folks, he was more than just a moral outstanding citizen. He was what he was because he was God. He is God, and we have confidence in knowing that. When we read of the virgin birth, we see in Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. Jesus came and he lived, God came and he lived here in the form of Christ. He took on flesh to overcome the life that you and I failed to do perfectly. He lived the life we could not live. He died the death we should have died. And he rose again so that we can be victorious. I want you to be comforted. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to leave here with the greatest hope that provides you with a compelling nature to go and tell people today, yes, he lives. And because he lives, you can face today, you can face tomorrow, you can face the rest of your life, because we know that we serve a sovereign God. We know that the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. We know that Christ is sitting upon the throne, ruling and reigning on high. He will not be impeached. He does not have to wait on a business meeting. He does not have to call a board meeting. He waits for no votes. He does whatsoever he pleases. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that I am blessed and privileged to get to speak of. I am thankful today that I can come to you all and tell you, as you leave this building today, there is a message of comfort. And God portrayed it to us in the best way ever. Jesus Christ. If you've come here and been exciting for preaching, praise the Lord. But many of us put those faces on and try to hide our hurts. I think of a situation that, you know, folks have been put through a lot lately. But I think of some things that's happened not too much further back, a few months ago, and people taking their own life because they were in fear. They couldn't come and tell somebody else that they had a problem. That they needed some help. Because they feared judgment rather than comfort. They feared ridicule rather than receiving grace. And it breaks my heart to know that people feel that way. Folks, when God comes to us and reveals to our hearts that we're sinners, we do fear judgment. We do. We know that at that moment we're standing before a holy and righteous God who is just in every judgment he decides to give. But God didn't bring judgment to us without bringing us a lawyer. He didn't present the case without having grace. And I want to encourage you today, just think about the comfort that the gospel has for the lost and dying world. Why do you think so many folks get triggered into alcohol or drugs? They're looking for something that can give them an escape. A sense of security, something that can just remove the pain, remove all this. And 90% of the cases are that reason. And we have the cure. Jesus Christ. Let this comfort you today. And I want to finish by reading Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It says, therefore, anyone hears these words of mine and acts on them, maybe compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and yet did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell, and great was its fall. Folks, I want you to understand, if your house, who you are, is built upon the rock, it will stand against the rains and the winds that come and blow. But if it's founded on shifting sand, you will fall. And great will be that fall. Embrace Christ. Embrace him for all that he's offering us. And find yourself comforted. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you again for this day.